Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Larry Kreider here with the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Today in the studio is my really number one guest ever, my favorite guest ever, my wife, Laverne Kreider. Welcome.
Oh, it's good to be here. I love dialoguing with you.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 51 plus years. Yeah. So we're going to do it now about the cry for spiritual fathers.
Yes.
And mothers.
Yeah.
Something
so
deep in our hearts for years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to begin, Laverne, with a scripture just to get us started and just ask you just a bunch of questions about this, because you've been a spiritual mom to so many women, and you do this so well. I mean, it's who you are. Mm-hmm. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 says, "See, I'll send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children," fathers and mothers, obviously, "or also come and strike the land with a curse." And we've said many times all over the world that there's been a curse over this generation, and that's fatherlessness and motherlessness, both naturally and spiritually. And then he says, "I'll send the prophet Elijah." And we know that Elijah, in the midst of depression, in a cave, cried out to God. God told him to go find his Elisha, a spiritual son in this case, and train him to take his place. And we know Elisha one day said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah said, "Well, if you see me when I go, you'll get that." And it happened.
Yes.
He had twice as many miracles as his spiritual father, Elijah. It's amazing. So anyway, there's this cry today. I mean, you see it, I see it everywhere we go, for spiritual mamas and spiritual dads.
I think before we even talk about spiritual father and mother, that it doesn't become like a doctrine or doesn't become like something to do on my to-do list.
Right.
It has to become from the heart of the Father.
Yes.
And in fact, Jesus said in John 5, he said, "I've come to reveal the Father. I've come to represent the Father." That was, he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, but it was to reveal the Father's heart. And so that is the premise that spiritual father and mother needs to come from.
Right.
The sense that we desire to see people to labor. The scripture says, "I labor earnestly that Christ could be formed in people." That's our heart. I heard a prophetic word years ago. And of course, we hear prophetic words in part, but this prophetic word came through a song, and it said, "I will not release my power on the streets till my compassion is released."
That's so good.
And that's where the premise is, to come from this heart of compassion, that God sees how God sees people, how he sees us. He sees us complete. He sees us as, you know, not just a potential, you know, he actually sees us complete in him. And that's why Jesus had compassion. He saw what these people that he ministered to meant to the Father.
Yeah.
And that needs to be our heart.
It's pushing people up to the Heavenly Father.
Yes,
no one can ever take the place of the Heavenly Father. In fact, if we try to take the place of the Heavenly Father, it gets weird.
Yes.
I mean, really weird, really fast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's healthy spiritual mothering and fathering. Again, I agree. It's not something on our to-do list. It's a lifestyle.
Yes.
It's something God's called all of us to do. Not just for pastors.
Yeah.
This is for every believer. If you're a believer for 6 months, you can take someone else and you can at least put your arm around them and help them grow to at least the place you are.
Yes.
I find there's the greatest catalyst, I feel, to grow spiritually is to be a spiritual mother or spiritual father, because they're asking us questions and they're helping spur us on to love and good works and all that God has for us. So talk to us more. But what's it look like to be a spiritual mom? What's that all look like to you?
Well, it starts with just having the heart of the Father for people and just developing his heart for people and seeing what he's doing in our lives. And it looks different in different seasons. For me, it's also just as a real call to the next generation.
Mm.
You know, Psalms talks about, you know, that he will impart, we will tell the next generation and the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. You know, the psalmist said, it's like Isaiah, God spoke through Isaiah, said, "Each generation can make known to you, knowing your faithfulness to the next generation." So a lot of it is the next generation.
Yes,
but it's luck to see what God's doing in our lives, and having that that heart to see people grow in Christ. And as a spiritual mother, it's not so much about me, or it's about glorifying God.
That's
right. It's about, you know, lifting our hearts up to God and glorifying God in these relationships.
You know? I remember years ago, I was in New Zealand ministering at a conference, and I'd listened to another speaker before I spoke, and he was powerful. He was young, dynamic, signs and wonders, amazing. I'll never forget, we're sitting in this van driving back to the place he stayed.
I remember
this. You remember the story.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he said, "You know what I need?" Yeah. And I said, "No, what do you need?" He said, "I need a father." I thought, really? Yeah. Here's this anointed man of God. He wasn't asking me to be his father in the Lord, but he was simply saying, the cry of my heart is, I need a father. I want to be connected generationally. And that need is everywhere, all over the body of Christ. Yeah. And this is for all of us to respond to it. Now, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And people say, what's the difference? Well, there's not a lot of difference, but carrying the heart of a father or mother is, in the same way we do it with our own children naturally, we're called to do that spiritually and see them go far ahead of us, just like Elijah and Elisha go far ahead of where we could ever go.
And it's obedience. You know, Jesus, when that was the last thing he said before he went up into heaven. And it was suggestion. It was, go and make disciples.
Right.
But if it doesn't come from the heart of the Father to make disciples, truly compassion and love, well, then it becomes a project.
Right.
You know, people become a project instead of truly the Father's heart and love for them.
And honestly, I think many people have felt like a project over the years. They feel like, well, you know, someone is quote-unquote discipling me or whatever. It's more like I'm their project than they just love me. You know, the older we get, for both of us, we've always said, you know, the less we tell people what to do.
Yes.
We'll share what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
We'll share what we've learned, our story. Mm-hmm. And then you go and hear from God, because you're responsible to the Lord, not to us.
Yes.
And that's that's the spiritual
father. That's so good,
Now, 1 Corinthians 4, I find Paul shared his heart about being a father in the Lord. And he said, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ or instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers, he said. He said, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel.
That's good.
And so he's simply saying, look, we need fathers. I became a father to you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Do what I have done. Become a father or mother in the Lord. And he said, for this reason, he said, I'm sending you Timothy, my son, whom I love. Now, we know that he didn't have a natural son. It was a spiritual son. And I love that part where he says, whom I love. God connects us with people. God makes these relationships happen, whether they're long-term or short-term. We can have many spiritual fathers, many spiritual mothers.
Yes.
You know, this is not some legalism thing. The key is that we're intentional about being spiritual moms or spiritual dads. And then he said, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord, Timothy, will remind you of my way of life in Christ.
So good.
Remind you of how I've learned to walk with Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. He said, I teach this everywhere. This was part of Paul's ministry, was being a spiritual father, obviously a spiritual mother, and imparting to the next generation.
Yeah. And I think churches need to get this in their spirits, you know, because it's not just about a meeting, even though meetings are good and programs. But if this does not become a culture where discipleship comes from that premise of fathering and mothering, then it's people do feel like it's a project, or this is a good little program. It's something that's so why I pray. I think a lot of times we say, what is the hindrance to it? I think a lot of people don't have a revelation.
Right.
They need a revelation.
Right.
We have taught on this for years and years, Larry.
True.
And
I
see that unless it's a revelation in people's hearts, it's just kind of like, oh, well, ho-hum, you know, maybe it's a, you know, something they'll do. But it is the Father's desire to see the kingdom of God grow and to see people discipled and cared for and released so they can go then and be spiritual fathers.
Exactly.
That's my greatest joy, when I've been a spiritual mother for somebody for a season, and then they're out. They're going and doing a spiritual mother, you know, generation to generation. That is just the greatest joy, you know.
It
so
is.
I love it.
Somebody asked the renowned evangelist Billy Graham, who's now with the Lord, one time, this question. He said, Billy, how would you change a city? And honestly, I thought he would say have a crusade, which he was well known for years.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He said, if I wanted to change a city, I would gather a few men around me. And of course, his wife Ruth in those days could do the same thing with women. And he said, I would just teach them all that I know and have learned about Jesus. But then he said, after a few months, I'd ask them to go out and find someone and get their person or persons, a group, and do the same thing. And then he said, then after a few months, they would go out and do the same thing. And he said, we could reach a whole city for Christ.
Oh, that's amazing.
He was talking about releasing spiritual fathers and spiritual mm-hmm. mothers mm-hmm. or disciples, call it whatever you want, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Again, I just want to make it so clear, we can't say this too much, that we are pushing people up to the Father.
Yeah, yeah.
We never take the place of the Heavenly Father.
No.
So that's why spiritual mothering and fathering can be for a season. Often it's for a season. It might be for a year, mm-hmm. maybe for 2 years. And someone else will speak into that person's mm-hmm. life. Or it might be long term. But that's up to the Lord to make that decision.
Yeah, and that's where we say, Father, what are you doing in my life? And,
that's right.
And you have to be intentional about it.
Yes, you do.
Jesus was
exactly.
intentional
he was.
When he went for his disciples.
Yeah.
You know, and they worked and loved and lived with him for 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering sometimes, a lot of times, people just don't take that step of faith mm-hmm. Because they've had disappointments in their lives.
Yeah.
They don't feel good enough.
Right.
But it's not about that you have to have all the answers.
Right.
You know, I always say spiritual mothering is just coming alongside of someone and walking with them for a season, listening to them, and again, pushing them up to the Father, you know, and glorify, he is glorified, you know.
Really, spiritual moms and dads are often like what I call a Holy Spirit hinge.
Yeah.
And basically, we're like the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan only had a few hours with that man, but he gave him to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper took care of him.
Yeah.
So often we're a hinge. We connect people to other people, connect them to a podcast, a book, to a person, whatever, who can probably help them in a way we can. But what scared me for many years was I thought, I don't have all the answers, and I certainly don't.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't have all the answers. Yeah. But the answer is there somewhere, and we can always help push them to someone who would have the answer for them. Great.
Yes,
but talk more about being a spiritual mother.
Well, I just think that, you know, for me, it is just, it's been more my lifestyle, you know. I love to see women grow in the Lord. I mean, Titus said, you know, older women are to teach younger women. He didn't say old women.
Older.
Older.
Right.
So, I mean, there is, we've known, of course, haven't we, over the years, that sometimes a teenage girl is just taking someone under her wing, you know. And for me, it has just become more of a lifestyle. I love it. I love to see. And I've often shared this, you know, love to see as I part to some woman that they impart to others then. And it's just so good, you know.
Right.
Just love it.
Well, you know, Paul obviously had Timothy, mm-hmm. and you see throughout the scriptures, Jesus had the 12, and Mark 3:14, if I remember correctly, it says they called them, his disciples, that they might be with him. And it really had to do with being intentional about the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship, and often I find, you know, we were pastors for years. We understand what pastors walk through, and you said it so well. Often pastors will think, well, if I just have a good meeting, good preaching, those things are all fine. But unless every believer understands the importance and the power behind spiritual fathering and mothering, because that's what's going to change the world. I agree with Billy Graham, you know. That is what's going to change the world. And, you know, the promise of God to Abram, you know, was that his children would be like the sand of the sea and stars of the sky. And, you know, that actually happened because, of course, the Jewish nation today, we see that really happen, you know, through Isaac, his son, through one son. And, you know, but he was a man of faith, and it's really walking in faith and learning how God wants us to see the next generation, who'll mentor the next generation, next generation, and next generation.
And you know, I don't want to sound like overly spiritual about this, but it needs a revelation, you know. We need to ask the Lord for a revelation of this, because it will look different in all of our lives. It'll look different in the different seasons of our lives, but there needs, you know, especially in church leaders and small groups, behind all that is, those are credible places to see spiritual father and mother happening, and asking for revelation so it becomes part of people and not just something on their to-do list, but it really becomes the culture of that church family. So I just long to see that.
But people often say, well, if you're a spiritual mother, father, what does it look like? You know, how do you do that? What does it look like practically? And, you know, we, of course, we've had seminars on this. You know, we've written a book on this. Years 20, you know, when 23 years ago, the craft of spiritual fathers and mothers. But basically, something we say again and again is learn to ask questions. You know, ask them about their walk with God. Ask them about, you know, the things they're struggling with. Just ask them questions. When you respond to them, again, you're not trying to fix them or give them the answers. You share what God has shown you and done in your life. That can help them then do the same thing as they find somebody else.
Yes, and I often share when I'm speaking, you know, on spiritual mothering, and that I hesitate to give methods.
Okay, that's good.
That gets a little messy sometimes. I use three words, and that is acceptance, encouragement, and vulnerability.
That's good.
I feel as a spiritual mother, if I can walk in a place of accept one another as Christ accepts us, and walking free from judgments mm-hmm. of the people around me or whoever God puts in my life, and then just be an encouragement. Like, you know, you can make it. You take one step, and then being vulnerable mm-hmm. yourself. You know, for me as a spiritual mother, I need to be vulnerable. So that releases other people to be vulnerable. And so I've seen that just really, you don't have to be this incredible Bible teacher you know, go to seminary. Just be who your God's called right. you to be and walk in a place of acceptance and encouragement and vulnerability, you know, yeah. just walking alongside, helping someone to take another step, putting your arms around them, you know. Yeah, so I hesitate about methods so much. Right. It's more of a sense of revelation in our hearts right. to impart to people.
Something I've often done over the years, again, mentoring a new Christian is different than mentoring someone who's a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, we do both. Mm-hmm. But I find often, especially for newer Christians, using a book or something, mm-hmm. you know, like
yes,
the Purpose-Driven
yeah.
Lamp I've
mm-hmm.
used already.
Yep.
Obviously use some of our books, our Foundation Series books. And just they read a chapter, we read a chapter, and then next time we get together, we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just discuss that. And that, to me, that's been a very practical thing that's really worked. And the scripture says in 1 John 2, 12 to 14, I write to you, dear children. He talks about, I write to you, young men, or women, obviously, and I write to you, fathers, or fathers and mothers. And, you know, the Bible's clear that children, the sins are forgiven, that's new believers, and or those who haven't grown. And then the young men are those who get the word of God in them. They overcome the evil one. They really are growing, but they're still not fathers or mothers. He says, I write to you, fathers. Now, how do you become a father? How to become a mother? By having children.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, naturally by natural birth or adoption. And you see the same thing in the scriptures. You see, Paul found Timothy. He adopted him, really.
Yep.
Spiritual adoption.
Yes, yes.
And he talks about Onesimus in prison. And I led him to the Lord and called him his son. So that would be more like natural birth. So either way, we can lead someone to Christ and somebody else can disciple mm-hmm. them. Or can father and mother them, or we lead, or someone who's been a Christian for a while, we can kind of adopt them into our lives for a while, and it works that way also. But the thing we have to understand is, in order to be a father or a mother, it's not because we have a lot of Bible knowledge. Even the Bible knowledge is great. It's because we are following Jesus' footsteps, being with them, and being spiritual fathers and mothers to the next generation.
It can be formal or informal.
Exactly.
You know, it can be close up or distance.
Yes.
I mean, many times I'm like a spiritual mom on Zoom and mm-hmm. Skype mm-hmm. So it can be structured or infrequent. Oh, there's been so many. I've met with dozens and dozens and dozens of women where actually it's more frequent, maybe once a month. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting. I think of example, maybe 30 years ago, a young girl came to me and she was a career woman, and then she started having children, and she says, could you just be a spiritual mom to me for a bit? And I just sat and listened to her as she grappled with parenthood and, you know, motherhood and we connected, we prayed together. I didn't have a lot of answers, but she heard God as I walked with her. And now many, many years ago, I mean, we still get together maybe once a year or something, but there's there is that connection.
Sure.
But again, it can be formal, informal. I think a real practical thing is teaching people to be thankful, teaching women to walk in thankfulness. This is the will of God, to give thanks in all things. And relationships, nurturing relationships do take time.
They do.
But it's finding, and I think sometimes there's how you're wired is how you're going to be a spiritual mom. You know,
true.
What giftings you have are going to mm-hmm. come through clear.
Very good point.
I think there's seasons. You might even be a spiritual mother or father in areas of finance, maybe, or coaching in a specific area of teaching. And again, formal, informal. What's God doing?
Yeah, it's different for every person and every relationship.
I hate to put
different.
It in a box.
Exactly. people often ask, what's a good definition for a spiritual father mm-hmm. or mother? And the best one I found mm-hmm. is a spiritual father or mother helps a spiritual son or daughter reach his God-given potential. It's just we want to help them reach their God-given potential. And I want to emphasize again that there's no special method for this. And what works for one does not work for another. In the same way, our natural children are all different, mm-hmm. need different kinds of care mm-hmm. and support. Same thing is true with spiritual children. Mm-hmm. They really are mm-hmm. all different. And this is something we are all mm-hmm. called to do. It's, yes. for, it's for everyone.
Yes. And again, we emphasize that the difference between spiritual father and mother and just maybe mentoring is, I think, I feel a hard issue. You know, we don't look at spiritual father and mother. It becomes a lifestyle. We don't look at people, well, you know, you're a project for a season. It's like, no, what's God doing in your life?
Right,
And I love you as the Father loves you, you know. And so it's really a heart issue that has to come forth. So there is that, I feel, clarification that's a little bit different, spiritual right. father and mother, and it's the heart issue
yes.
than just, hey, I'm mentoring, which is good. You can mm-hmm. mentor people and coach people.
Sure.
But do you understand what I mean?
I do.
It's just, it's more of a heart issue.
Yeah.
And
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's a revelation from God.
Yeah.
And, you know, really all the above. I think the first time I ever even thought about this, you and I were missionaries mm-hmm. Back on an island mm-hmm. years ago off the mm-hmm. coast of South Carolina. And we learned about Paul-Timothy relationships.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
First time really.
We were young.
We were young. And then we got involved in youth ministry along with being a chicken farmer. You know, back in the day, we came back to Pennsylvania. Young people came to Christ from this little community and took van loads of young people into churches every Sunday night, trying to fit them into church. They were new mm-hmm. first-generation Christians.
And many of them came from incredibly broken homes
exactly.
and stuff. So there was this real strong need for that spiritual father and mother. And we didn't call it that.
And
then,
we didn't even know. I think we didn't even understand it.
No.
We were spiritual fathers and mothers.
We loved them.
We loved these kids.
Compassion.
I remember we take van loads of kids into these churches. And sometimes we took more kids into the churches than the whole church. Yeah. And then we'd come to our house after we'd pack the place out, playing my guitar. And you were in Mrs. Hospitality, you know. And we just loved on these kids.
Yes.
And but in the midst of that, I think one day we realized what was really going on is we tried to get them involved in churches. They weren't connecting because we had become their spiritual parents.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to us. And really, when the first Dove Church started in 1980, I mean, we really came out of that mm-hmm. that whole revelation.
That's true.
And where some of these young people had looked to us as spiritual mm-hmm. parents mm-hmm. with others who joined us and helped us in the process. And so I think it became part of who we were for years. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, we used to have seminars and cell groups and small groups. And, you know, we believe in small groups today more than ever. But even small groups without spiritual fathering and mothering become another meeting.
Nice little program, a nice little meeting.
So it's getting back to the heart cry of the Lord for us to be spiritual fathers and mothers to the next generation. Well, we got a few minutes yet, Laverne. Anything else you want to share with us before we close today?
To me, it's just that next generation is so important. You know, Psalm 78 again, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and wonders he has done, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children.
Beautiful.
Then they would put their trust in God, would not forget his deeds, but keep his commandments, that they would not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful. In other words, a generation that did not prepare its heart. And I feel that's so key, that we prepare our hearts and are open to the revelation of what God wants to do, to see spiritual father and mother happen from generation to generation. Of course, that takes place in our natural families, but also the spiritual families in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, as we look back, you know, after doing this now for 50 years or 50-some mm-hmm. years, and involving church leadership more than 40 years, you know, we see the blessing of it.
Yeah,
we have friends, spiritual children with a double portion.
Yes.
Literally all over the world.
Yes,
I mean,
amazing.
We're so blessed. Generation after generation after generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul tells Timothy, you know, the things you learned from me, you know, share with those who are faithful, share with others, they share with others also. Talking about
four
generations.
And it continues, you know,
exactly.
It's so amazing.
Exactly. It was that 2 Timothy 2:2, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And that's why God's place is here on this planet. I want to close by saying, I know some people struggle with this because they've been hurt themselves.
Yes. There's been abuse with it.
There's been spiritual abuse, and we've seen that. And the spiritual fathering and mothering is not us owning someone or telling them what to do. Spiritual fathering and mothering is releasing them to be all God called them to do.
So good.
And it's so important. And that's why we need to plant churches. When people get a vision in their hearts to plant a church, well, let's find a path for them to release mm-hmm. them to do that. I mean, obviously, that's why, you know, our little church of 25 people grew to a couple thousand, and then we started churches all over the world. But the heart behind it all really, the revelation behind it all was becoming spiritual fathers and mothers. So when you do release someone, then you become, to start a new church, let's say, you're a spiritual father and mother to them for the, whatever season God gives. And we do that again and again and again. I think if we understand the natural family, we understand the spiritual family.
Yes.
And God's call on each of our lives is to be spiritual mamas and spiritual dads. I think insecurity holds a lot of people back, held us back for a long time. Yep. How could God ever use me? And we know that Moses felt the same thing. Jeremiah thought he was too young. And Gideon, you know, said, man of valor, you know, who's he? You know, God called him that. And so I think, again, getting hurt holds people back. A lack of modeling.
Or fear of rejection.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people walk in fear. I know I can deal with that. And just, finding our identity and performance instead of the Father's heart and love for us. And I would agree. Selfishness, too. And the cares of this world. Mm-hmm. They're just, people are so distracted. And the cares of this world just hinder people from seeing the greater and bigger picture of what the Father desires to see from generation to generation.
Right. Well, in this short podcast, you know, there's only so much we can share. I'll share this in closing, and then you share anything else, and we'll close. Someday we're all going to stand before the Lord. So are we going to stand there alone? Are we going to stand with our spiritual children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren?
Yes.
That's why God places us on this earth. So we can, you know, be the spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers that the Lord has called us to be. And let me just read this scripture yet from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother. Mm-hmm. Paul said, "Like I was like a mama caring for her children. We loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. You become so dear to us." Hear the heart.
Yeah.
The heart of a spiritual father.
The father and mother.
Yeah.
Yes.
He says, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting. Yeah. Urging you to live a life worthy. It's all from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then he says, what's our hope? What's our joy? What's the crown in which we'll glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? In other words, when we stand before the Lord, what's our joy? Of course, it's Jesus. But he says, is it not you? And who's you? He just said, I was your spiritual father, your spiritual mother.
What great joy.
Exactly.
See Christ, labor to see Christ formed in people. You
exactly.
know, it's just so incredible. You know, it's
exactly.
just, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share in closing?
No, just that we continue to pray for a revelation, you know, to that we seek the Lord and say, what are you asking of me, Lord? And who have you put in my life? And to be intentional to seek the Lord, you know, as to and a revelation of what spiritual father and mother really is about in our lives and how to look for this season in our lives.
Laverne, this is so much fun.
Yes, it's good.
So much fun. I mean, we're talking about things that are very dear to our hearts, obviously. I mentioned 20-some years ago, I think it was the year 2000, I wrote this book called The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Mothers. And God's, you know, it's used, there's so much more in this book than we could share with you in 25 or 30 minutes on a podcast. And so this book has been republished. It's been updated. We took a lot of things we've learned in the last 20 years and put in this book. It's republished. Same title, The Craft of Spiritual Fathers and Mothers. This is also, this is Audible. And also, it's an e-book, also on Amazon. And here's the exciting thing. For the next 5 days starting today, you can go to Amazon and get this book free.
It's cool.
It's e-book free. Next 5 days, The Cry for Spiritual Fathers and Mothers. You can go to Amazon and you can get that. So, Laverne, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been great.
For the podcast.
Loved
it's been
it.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Again, we're just talking
podcasts
about things.
Podcasts should be fun, shouldn't they?
They should be, and they are. And we're just talking about things that are dear to our hearts, being spiritual fathers and mothers to the next generation. So thank you for joining us today for the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast. We learned there's small changes we can make in our lives that cause a major difference to be in our lives and the lives of those we serve. And we'll look forward to many more podcasts with many more guests in the future. And we'll see you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.